Well, our scripture reading this morning from Luke chapter 24. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, well, let me begin in verse 55, because it's talking about the women in chapter 23. And the women would come with him from Galilee, following after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. And then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling that day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deeds and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honey, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that he might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endowed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass that while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Thus Luke ends his gospel. Well, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, the women who were present when the body of Jesus was placed in the tomb decided to prepare his body with spices and costly ointments to embalm his body. And so early on Sunday morning, they took their spices and went to the tomb ready to go to work. And in their minds, this was the last act of love that they could show for Jesus. They were totally devastated at what had happened to him. But what strikes you about this? Well, it's very obvious that they did not expect Jesus to rise on the third day. What they were doing was out of love for the Lord, but all their efforts were totally in vain because Jesus was no longer in the grave. So here we see well-meaning followers of Jesus making decisions on ignorance and unbelief. And that's why the angel said to them in verse 5, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, he has risen. In other words, you know, why didn't you listen to Jesus and the things that he told you that were going to happen? As he did in many places, for example, Luke 9, verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and raised on the third day. Many times, Jesus told them very clearly what was going to happen. But somehow, it just didn't sink in. And when the women then finally did believe, verse 8 tells us, they went and told the disciples, and what was their response? Well, Peter ran down, but he came away from the tomb marveling. And the same sort of unbelief is evident in the story of the two men of Emmaus as well in verses 13 to 33. So we see that even amongst the closest followers of Jesus, as much as they loved him, they did not expect him to rise on the third day. And it's striking that some of them, in verse 39, Jesus holds out his, he shows, he says, take hold of my hands and feet and touch me, because they thought they were seeing a spirit or having some kind of vision. Even as he was speaking to them face to face, they still had a hard time believing that it was him. And again, Jesus reminds them in verse 44, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything that is written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. The entire Old Testament speaks of my suffering and dying. So how did Jesus respond to this kind of unbelief? Well, we read it in verse 25. He says, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And in Mark 16, verse 14, Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. It's in this context that you're asked to consider the word of the Lord from this chapter this morning under the theme from verse 32. Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the scriptures? So first of all, let's consider the slowness of heart to believe that caused so much confusion and grief. And then secondly, how their confusion and grief was burnt away and disappeared when the scriptures were opened. First of all, the slowness of heart that caused all this feeling of devastation and confusion and grief. The Lord knew that he loved them and cared, that they cared for them very deep, that they cared for him very deeply. But he doesn't hesitate to admonish them, does he? And sometimes the Lord does that to us too. Because this can happen to us as well. If we do not give careful attention to the things that the Lord has told us in his word. His disciples heard what Jesus had said, but his words did not sink into their hearts and their minds. It was not received by faith, because faith is trusting in what Jesus says and believing that it's going to happen. We must trust what Jesus is saying. If we do not expect his word to accomplish exactly what he says it will accomplish, then we haven't believed it. And the result is that we can be very devastated at unexpected events that happen in our lives. These women meant very well. They were going to embalm Jesus as an act of love. But it was totally unnecessary, because already in Psalm 16, verse 10, it was written that he will not let his Holy One see corruption. And in the story of the two men of Emmaus, Jesus hides his identity for a purpose until he shows them from the scriptures why he had to die and that he would be raised on the third day. And he didn't ask him, why didn't you believe the angels? But he said, no, why didn't you believe the scriptures? It was already written. And we can learn from this for ourselves, that if something unexpected happens in our life, or in the life of the church, or in world events, if something shocking happens that changes your life, then don't trust your own interpretation or somebody else's, but go to your Bible. The reason why these dear people were so devastated and grieving was because they did not turn to the scriptures for the answer to what was happening. This is what we need to do when things happen to us. If a loved one is taken, serious accident or sickness, or even more painful, the breaking up of a church or of a family, whatever it is, these things overwhelm us, and they can deeply grieve us. But whatever, the Lord is still in control over all these things, and we must trust God for what he is doing and is allowing to take place in our life. No one can go outside of God's will. God rules over all things. And nothing is that happens is outside of his control. All these people that love the Lord were not looking in the word for the answer. And that's a cause for much of our grief as well and our confusion. And Jesus might also say to us, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all the things that are written in the scriptures, because often we're the same way. And this word, foolish ones, is not a lack of understanding due to inability, but it's just a lack of understanding of unbelief, of the hardness of heart, Jesus says. Not accepting, not really believing what Jesus is saying. Now we can understand that it was difficult for them. all that the prophets had written about Jesus and him dying. You know, their minds didn't grasp that. They somehow did not connect that their Messiah would have to die in order to save them from their greatest enemy, their own sin. They found that hard to accept from the Word of God, even though for centuries the Lamb without blemish was offered up every morning and evening as an atonement for their sin. But somehow they did not connect that to what Jesus needed to do for them as their mediator in order to redeem them as a sacrifice for their sins. And John the Baptist tried to prepare them when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But they did not make that connection. And sometimes we do not accept what the Lord's will is for our lives and the life of the church. But then, really, we're questioning what God's doing, right? And when we do that, well, then we bring a lot of grief, just like these brothers and sisters did in this passage, on themselves. They were totally discouraged, the disciples, at the turn of events. I mean, they're devastated. Even when the women came to them and told them that Jesus had risen from the dead, they said in verse 11, these words appeared to them as idle tales. Literally, nonsense. It was like nonsense to them. It didn't make any sense whatsoever. Never entered their mind. Now, it's a tragic thing when a lukewarm church members find Bible reading boring and hard to understand and complain that they don't get a lot out of it, but that's not the case for these men and women. They love the Lord, but just the sudden, unexpected death of Christ was too much of a shock for them. And that can happen to us too, when something very painful happens in our life. But dear brothers and sisters, the Lord has a way for us. What can burn away our confusion and our lack of understanding and grief? The Scriptures. Believing in what the written Word has to say to us. The Bible is still the answer and the source of comfort and strength and light in all of our darkness, no matter what happens to us. And look at the change that took place when the Lord opened the Scriptures to these men. And they still didn't know that it was Jesus who was talking to them while he was speaking to them on the road. And we're not told exactly what Jesus said to them, but he said all that was written in the prophets, and later he added in the law of Moses and the Psalms. And you can just imagine what he may have said to them. He may have quoted from Isaiah, what Isaiah had to say about him, that his name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Father, Prince of Peace. Or in chapter 53, that he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, that he was smitten of God and afflicted. They may have heard Jesus quote from Psalm 22 when he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that it was a reproach of men and despised by the people. They may have witnessed that with their very own eyes and heard Jesus say that from the cross if they were there, and still they didn't make that connection. They may have heard Moses say from Deuteronomy 18 that the Lord God would raise up a prophet just like him. And they said they believed that Jesus was a prophet, a mighty prophet, they say here in verse 19. But still, there wasn't that connection. But then, all of a sudden, when the Lord opened their understanding, like a refining fire, all the doubt and confusion burnt away in a moment's time when the Scriptures brought light and life to them. And the same thing can happen to us, dear brothers and sisters. He just showed them what was written about him and what a wonderful effect it had on him. That's why they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and he opened to us the Scriptures. And the word used in verse 32 and 45, when he opened, means to unstop or to unplug. It's also used in Mark 7:35 when Jesus opened the ears of the deaf man who could not distinguish the different sounds. When the Lord opened that or unplugged his ears, it just all fell into place. You know, and that's how, when we come to a clear understanding what the Scriptures says about Christ and what he has done for us and is doing and will do for us, then our confusion disappears and all our doubts need to disappear too. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, right? Suddenly, all our fears and our doubts and despair will vanish in a moment's time, no matter what struggle you're going through or pain you're going through, because the Holy Spirit enables us to put all the pieces of the puzzle together to give us an understanding and put things, our lives, back in the right perspective in our relationship to Christ and what he has done for us. But you see, then we need to read our Bibles, not just, you know, for a few minutes and so that we've kind of done our duty reading them, but until the Scriptures begin to speak to us. We need to live in the Scriptures and out of the Scriptures. It's not just a book that you pick up, young people and children, just to read once in a while when you have a few extra minutes. No. It shall be so much part of you that you eat it and drink it, so to speak. That it's a source of life to you, to give you strength. It comforts you. It nourishes your soul. It is a source to draw from for all of your needs in life. All of God's wisdom is revealed to make us wise and godly. The Scriptures need to be more precious to you than your bank account or your business or your crops or your job. All that you need in life is right here in the Bible. And why is that? It's not a worship of a book, because it's not the book, but it's the person who is speaking to you from this book. From every page of Scripture, the living Lord Jesus Christ is revealing what he has done, is doing, and will do for all those who believe and trust in him. He has risen. He's alive. He's no longer in the tomb. And when you're reading the Scriptures, you're hearing Christ speaking to you from heaven. It's like he's live streaming his voice from heaven to penetrate your heart and your mind through the Holy Spirit. Because he has risen. He is alive. He knows you. He sees you. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he cares for you and he loves you. And he wants you to saturate your whole life with himself. All that the Holy Spirit has written is so that the riches of Christ will satisfy your hungry and thirsty souls. He wants his words to burn in your hearts, just as he did with these two men on the road to Emmaus. Because we're so often like them, and he knows how weak we are. It's our slowness of heart to believe that causes so much confusion and unnecessary grief and pain in our lives. But his word will burn that despair and that unbelief and replace it with great joy and peace. Because the Lord does not want any one of you to live in despair or needless anxiety. Notice what these men said in verse 21. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. But what were they really hoping for? And this shows something of the reason of why there was so much confusion in their mind. Because they had the mistaken idea that Jesus would free them from the Romans and have a kingdom of God on earth, just like the time of David and Solomon. That's what their teachers taught them. But such a kingdom would be for their own glory, to rule and reign over the other nations. And that's very appealing to our flesh, to be a world power ruling over other nations, because then we're in control and we're at the center of the universe. Now that dream and that hope died when Jesus died, so they thought. But God's plan is far bigger and far greater than that. The kingdom of God is not for the glory and the comfort of man here on this earth. The Lord continues to gather his church of the New Testament from all the nations of the world, but he uses very unusual means. And the secret things belong to the Lord, but what God has revealed belong to us and our children. We have to live by the written word of God as God opens his secret world to us. Sometimes it's very difficult, but he wants us to live by his written word. And sometimes it's very painful that he brings a church through. Take, for example, the time of Pentecost. It's a great time, all was well, the Holy Spirit was poured out. It was such a time of peace. The church grew quickly, and there were thousands of converts. Everyone was sharing with each other's goods. It was a wonderful time of unity and peace. And then suddenly, this radical change. What a shock. Godly Stephen, a man full of the Holy Spirit, great preacher, was martyred and stoned to death. Then a great persecution broke out under Saul. James was beheaded. Many saints died. The church in Jerusalem was scattered. Now you can ask, why, Lord? Why did that have to happen? With such love and unity in the congregation, why this persecution? And where do we find the answer? It's in what Jesus said would happen. Before it happened, in Acts 1:8, just before his ascension into heaven, Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's what Jesus said was going to happen. And it did happen, but with a great deal of pain and suffering. It was not what they had expected or hoped for. And then we read in Acts 8, verse 1, "Now on that day, the day that Stephen was martyred, a great persecution broke out in the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered." And where did they go? To all the regions that Jesus said they would be going: Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It had been a wonderful time in the church in Jerusalem to have such sweet communion and love for one another. But the Lord did not want them to become so comfortable that they would not go out and do the work that the Lord had for them to do. We rejoice in the love that God has for us, but he wants his church to share the love, his love, for the lost. He's building his church. And he's told us in verse 47 here in this passage that repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And it has gone a long way, but there's still more to do because the church isn't finished yet. And often, the Lord builds his church through persecution. And so we have to accept whatever the will of the Lord, even when persecution breaks out against the church, because the Lord is the head of the church and he knows what he's doing. We just need to focus and be faithful because he has given us his word to walk by, and that's enough. But we have a calling, brothers and sisters. All that Christ has done for us and is doing, he wants us to share that with others. But you see what happened at this time with the scribes and Pharisees, why they hated Jesus so much, is because they were building a very comfortable and pleasant kingdom for themselves. They were using all the gifts of God's people to stuff their pockets, to eat, drink, and be merry, and be content. They completely lost focus of the task that the Lord had given them. And we have to be very careful that we do not lose, especially with all that the Lord has given us, with our wonderful, rich, reformed heritage, with all the freedoms that we've had here in the West, that we do not become so set upon themselves and inward focus that we lose the sight of the task that the Lord has given to us. The kingdom of God is not eat, drink, and be merry, and then tomorrow we go to heaven and have even a better party. We have very serious work to do for our living Lord and King to bring honor and glory to his name. The eternal kingdom of God is still ahead. Acts 14:22 says, through many tribulations we will enter into the kingdom of God. That's the final kingdom of God. And Jesus says in John 16:33, that in the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. And the Christian life is a constant battle. We have so many enemies inspired by Satan himself to destroy Christian families and to destroy the church of Christ. But we do not fight this battle with the weapons of this world, but with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, as you know, Ephesians 6:17. And who is that Word of God? The one who is God and who was with God, even Jesus Christ, but who came in the flesh as our bridegroom. And what's his will for his bride? Well, the Lord is eager to have his bride come home to him. That's going to be a wonderful feast and a great joy also for the Lord. But she's not ready yet. There are still some who are missing. They're still lost in their sin and they need to hear the gospel, and that's our task. And that's why we need to be busy in our homes and with our friends and with our neighbors and speaking to them about the Lord. That everywhere we go, using every opportunity we have every day to share the hope of the gospel. Even when we're seated in a wheelchair or bedridden, because we have the living Christ who comforts our hearts and encourages us to continue to trust in what he says to us in his word. And so, dear brothers and sisters, children, young people, maybe there are things happening in your life that have confused you and grieved you. Maybe it's done a number on your faith and you feel that the Lord is far away somehow. Or you have doubts and you have questions and are fearful of what's going to happen to you. Maybe you feel somewhat overwhelmed at what's presently happening in the world with ISIS and so many other places in the world. Or with the godless laws that are imposed upon us by our very own government, destroying this country from within. If all of that has discouraged you, like these men and women in the text, well, if you're discouraged that way, then you know what to do. You need to repent. Repent of what? Repent of being slow of heart to believe all that Jesus himself is telling you from his word in Scripture. Has the Lord not warned us that it's going to be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're living them right now in Canada? Has he not said it's going to be like the days of Noah, when there was violence and killing all throughout the earth that had grieved the Lord so much that he had made man? Isn't that happening today? It is. And all that must happen before he comes again. He says it in many places in Scripture. But do not doubt what your Savior has told you must happen before he comes. But you must also not doubt that your risen Lord is promising you that he will be with you to the end. Has he not promised you that? Both personally and with the church. And he has even told you that if you loved him, he will turn all things to your good for all those whom he has called according to his purpose. And we know that the Lord has risen and that he is alive, but sometimes we act as if he's dead. We can lose our focus and become discouraged at things, the things that are happening around us that are very threatening to us. So we need to pray that the Lord will unplug our ears as he did to his grieved and confused children in our text. That our eyes of faith may be open to see Christ alive, in control, ruling over all the circumstances in life and in this world. And you all, children, you all remember the story of Daniel's three friends, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they had to either bow down to the idol that Nebuchadnezzar had made or face the fiery furnace, right? You remember what they said? Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and out of your hand, O King, Daniel 3:17. Now, young people, listen. You're in a very similar situation living here in Canada right now. And you have to decide who you're going to serve. Because Canada is also filled with all kinds of images and idols that you're being forced to bow down to. And if you don't, you're in trouble. So what will you do? If you're faced with a choice of being faithful to Jesus Christ or give in to the demands and the pressures to do what the Bible has forbidden. Well, the good news is that today you too can be delivered from that kind of pressure. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be confused. You don't have to despair. You don't have to be anxious. Why not? Because you can ask the Holy Spirit to burn the promises of your King and your Savior, Jesus Christ, recorded here in the Scriptures on your heart and on your mind, such you will never forget them or want to disobey them as long as you live on the face of the earth. Because where would you rather be? Bowing down before all the worthless idols that this world is bowing down to? Or would you like to be in the fiery furnace with Jesus Christ? And as painful and as threatening that may be, if you choose the fiery furnace, you will not be burnt because Jesus will be there to save you. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus has risen, he's alive, and he's eager and willing to burn away all your pain and your grief caused by the slowness of our hearts to believe. And he has promised his church in Matthew 28:20, "Behold, I'm with you till the end of the age." And then, children, you can tell me, what's going to happen at the end of the age when Jesus comes again? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. He's going to be so excited to have his bride with him. He will come with a shout and descend from heaven with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who remain alive will be caught up with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, let there never be a doubt in our hearts or minds that there's a greater power than yourself, that your word is true, that everything you tell us in your word is good, and that we can trust all that you have said and promised us. But Lord, you know how weak we are. Our hearts, too, are slow of heart to believe. We're no better than these disciples or anyone in our text this morning. But help us, Lord. You have given us so much more. even though what they had. They had the Old Testament scriptures, but Lord, we have now the full revelation of all that you have done, and we know that you're in heaven now speaking to us directly by way of your Spirit, Lord, and your Word. And you have come to live with us, speak to us in our hearts, so that our minds and our thoughts and our hearts may be filled with the wonder of who you are. That we may know you, Lord. That's eternal life. To know you, Father, and Jesus Christ, our Savior. Through the Holy Spirit, Lord, we are so wonderfully blessed. And Lord, burn away all our confusion and our doubts and help us. Fill our hearts and minds with your peace no matter what things we may go through. Lord, our young people, our children will be faced with many things that some of us in the older generation did not have to face. It will not be easy for them. We live now in a pagan world around us. There's so much evidence of that, Lord. Maybe even worse than other pagan nations. Father, then bless us with your word and believing in your word that will burn away the confusion and give us, Lord, the diligence and the strength to stand in this day. That our confidence and our trust may be clearly in your word and what you have said, so that we may bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, will you so help us and bless all of us this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.